Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC. I'm your host, Rick McCann, sitting behind the microphone today on the episode. We've got a lot of news to share with you, as well as some upcoming confirmed events and a whole lot more. We appreciate recent emails sent into our office over the last 2 weeks. We've received several emails saying great job on the radio shows, very informative, from some new listeners. So that was very inspiring to us and really inspiring us to do the radio program, although it is a lot of work and it does take time. You just don't sit down behind the microphone and start chatting. But it was very inspiring for us to hear about those new listeners. And if you're listening out there, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and let us know what you think about the radio show. Let others know. You know, let your coworkers know, as well as letting them know about Private Officer International. They can go right now to our website at privateofficer.org, sign up for just $99 for a lifetime membership. Now, this is a special. We've carried it over for quite some time, but that is scheduled to end soon. So let your friends and your coworkers know now is the time to get their lifetime membership for just $99. And of course, while we're at it, be sure that you are reading our news blog, daily news blog, always new, never stale, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, and go to our social media and be part of the conversation, facebook.com/privateofficerinternational and twitter.com/privateofficer. We have really a lot of news, some of it not so good, and unfortunately it falls upon us to get that information out. Today, in the bottom half of our radio program, we're going to be talking about the subject making history, history in the making. And it's a very unique topic because each one of us is making history. It's history in the making. Every day that we're alive, every day that we get up, every day that we're above ground, history is in the making. And right now in this day and age, in the time that we're at in our country, in our world, the history doesn't always look so great. But we have that opportunity to make our own history in the making. And to make some great memories for others and to do good and make it a solid history in the making. So we'll be talking about that as well in the program. I want to note as well, before we do go to our first break, you know, recently somebody contacted our office regarding a suicide of a security officer. And we really appreciate all of the contacts that we receive and the news alerts, people that send us news, and that's great. Unfortunately, we really need for you to get more detailed and try and give us more information so that we can research and confirm the information, because if we're unable to substantiate that information, it makes it very difficult for us to claim that something happened or to report it. And even if we say, well, it was reported by an unknown person or by an undisclosed person, for us to be able to report a news item, we need to verify that it happened. Otherwise, it's not creditable, and it doesn't look like we're credible. And, you know, I understand that sometimes you don't have all that information, you don't have all the details, but if you can give us as much as you can, that will help us, really, to be able to dig deeper and push that information out and get that all taken care of. Also, I'm in the past awards for folks who give us news regularly, and also bling, you know, private officer hats, t-shirts, that type of thing. So keep sending your news to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. All of the information that you send is usable and appreciated, and we'll be sure to reward you with some of that POI bling. In fact, we have a brand new order coming in. I'm really excited because we haven't ordered mugs or tumblers in quite a while, and we did order some of those. So, you know, maybe you'll get some of those. Just keep sending us information, news, and, of course, if you know somebody deserving of an award, send that in as well. In fact, we'll be talking about awards coming up in the next segment. So you are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're coming right back here on the Frontline Protector Radio Network. And thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we were talking before going to the break about all of the breaking news, upcoming events, and situations. A friend of mine who owns a private security company in Atlanta and in Alabama participated in providing services for Mardi Gras. Now, this was his first time providing security services, and he had been there as a spectator, someone who enjoyed the parades with the family and, you know, getting all the beads and the candy and all of that. He realized that probably by taking the contract down in the heart of the events, that there would be some risk and maybe even some injuries to personnel, because it can become very rowdy frequently during Mardi Gras. There are shootings and fights and, you know, violent incidents that do occur along the parade route, as well as at some of the event centers, at hotels, and so forth. So he did take it. He thought that this would be a good opportunity as he's expanding into the Alabama and Florida area from his Atlanta Metro offices. And so I just spoke with him, and he said that it was quite the experience. It wasn't as crowded there as he thought. Although Fat Tuesday, they estimate more than 200,000 people were downtown in Mobile, Alabama for the Mardi Gras parade. There were a couple of minor incidents that their company experienced and a few other situations they responded to working at some events. But overall, it was he thought it was interesting and fun and no injuries for his staff. So that's always a good thing. Another friend of mine and his family came over to New Orleans and they participated in the events there. And had a great time. There was a mass shooting nearby, but luckily and thankfully, they were already in their hotel that evening and were not injured and not part of that scene. But you never know. And for those of you who really don't know the history of Mardi Gras, Carnival, as it's known in Brazil and other locations, Mobile, Alabama was the first location in the United States to have a Mardi Gras celebration, and it grew and grew and grew until it couldn't really grow anymore in the city of Mobile, Alabama, and so they moved to the next larger city nearby, which at that time was New Orleans. And of course, New Orleans is a mix of Cajun and French and many other cultures, and it really fit right in and exploded. And now during any given year, during Mardi Gras, they see more than 1 million people come into the city. And it is a great event. It's a party atmosphere, and it's great for family. It's great for individuals, but it's also great for security companies because whether you're in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, any place that holds Mardi Gras festivals, there are other pre-scheduled events prior to Mardi Gras and parties and things that happen at event centers and hotels. And it's really a great opportunity for private security to participate and to make business and to make business contacts. So overall, from what I'm hearing, both on the Alabama side as well as over in New Orleans, other than that one mass shooting downtown, and I don't want to push that to the side like it's no big deal because it was. One person at least was killed, four others were shot. But overall, my information is that there were minimal situations happening throughout the Southeast Mardi Gras Day celebration, but overall, security teams and companies did well.
One of the areas of security business services that's often overlooked is special events like Mardi Gras, like parties, like conventions. I've done a lot of conventions and expos and special events in Nashville and other metropolitan areas. And if you're going to provide uniform security, whether it's armed or unarmed, that is a really high volume type business that is open and available to you. That's a repetitive business. It's repeated annually. And sometimes with these promoters and event management companies, you can oftentimes hitch on with them to just go every place they go to every type of event for quite some time. One of my top clients or customers was an auction company that auctioned large amounts of vehicles. They would go to a car dealership and hold a special tent sale, and they would auction off or sell off hundreds of cars on a weekend. And it was high paying, and it was always there. It wasn't just annually, but they would hold one a month at different locations throughout the Southeast. So that was really a great contact. And then, of course, through them, we got business at the dealerships themselves. So a lot of different services that can be provided. And if you're a member of POI, we can help consult with you on how to grow your business. Just contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're very excited learning about some of the upcoming events that we have over the next few months. Remember, the month of April now will be again the month where you'll be able to submit award nominations for your coworkers, your boss, yourself, or law enforcement. This is an annual event. There's no charge. We will be sending out announcements soon with that opportunity for you to fill out a nomination and nominate. You can nominate one, two, three. It doesn't matter. The important thing is to make sure that you fill out all the details accurately so that we can take a look and contact the nominee and find out more details. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Much more to this program. And remember, at the bottom of the show, we'll be talking about history in the making. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training? Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please, let your family know you want to be an orphan donor.
Once again this week, we have to talk about violence in the private security industry and how just in a matter of 1 week span, 7 days, there were almost 100 firearm incidents and 11 security officers shot or stabbed. That was a post that we put out, an email that we sent out earlier last week on the 24th. Of February. But here we are a few days later, and actually those numbers now have increased. You see, last week when we sent this out, this had been all of the incidents that had been made known to us over a 7 day period. Police across the country reporting shots fired, shootouts between security and suspects, warning shots fired by security defending themselves. We knew at that time that there had been multiple shootings, multiple engagements of security and bad guys shooting at each other, and we reported that information. One security officer was shot in the Westchester area of L.A., the armed security officer was involved in a gun battle after he approached someone who had not paid for parking in a private parking lot. Just that little interaction caused this man to open fire on the security officer, and a gun battle ensued. The confrontation left the security officer with injuries. Both were transported to the hospital and are expected to survive. A second shooting of a security officer ended in a fatality, according again to LAPD. That shooting stemmed from a security officer confronting two men, one of them opening fire and killing the security officer. In Houston, Texas, an armored truck officer was shot at a mall during a robbery. A 19-year-old suspect has since been arrested. Ricardo Rodriguez, now charged with that shooting and robbery that occurred at the Willowbrook Mall. Authorities also say that the teenager was arrested quickly because of multiple agencies being involved, and the security officer gonna recover because, what? He had body armor on. They do work. Just a short time later in Sunnyvale, California, a security officer was stabbed trying to stop a shoplifting at a Safeway. 28-year-old Joseph Quick Bear Alvarado later arrested by police in that attack. The security officer was armed, but did not have time to draw his weapon during the attack, according to the police report. In Washington, D.C., a police report says that an armed security officer there was attacked and stabbed as well. Police don't have a suspect. They say they are asking for the public's help. Police say this happened in the Northeast D.C. area. Metropolitan police officers responded with EMS and say that the security officer is expected to survive. In Sea Pleasant, Maryland, a security officer there attempting to intervene during an armed robbery was shot. It occurred at an AutoZone store. Police arriving on scene found the security officer with multiple gunshots laying on the sidewalk. Police investigating say that multiple armed suspects walked into the owner's AutoZone and quickly demanded money from the cashier. A security officer intervened, and that's when they say shots were fired. The armed security officer also was able to return fire. Police don't know if any of the suspects were hit. They are on the run. Right now, the condition of the security officer is listed as stable. In Philadelphia, police there are looking at for a man who also shot at a security officer downtown. It happened at the Dilworth Park. Police say that several people were asked to leave the park. The 29-year-old security officer was asking them to leave because they had been involved in an argument and in a brawl, a fight. One man got into a physical struggle immediately with the security officer, who police say was unarmed and not armed with anything. No lethal, no non-lethal, nothing. He was completely unarmed. The shooter fired multiple rounds at the security officer, and they are still on the run. Another shooting, this time of a security officer in Georgia. Police say an apartment security officer was injured but expected to survive. Minneapolis police say a security officer at a mall there was stabbed during an altercation. According to police, the security officer was escorting one man off the property after he had been involved in an altercation. The security officer suffered non-life-threatening wounds and is expected to survive. The man suspected of the stabbing also suffered non-life-threatening injuries, but police don't know how that occurred. In Dunwoody, at a restaurant called the Sagewood Fire Tavern, police there say a security officer was shot after he stopped a man and a woman who had not paid for their food. The man allegedly shot the security officer and fled. Authorities have not released any other details. numerous other incidents involving firearm shootings and even warning shots being fired was reported. In one incident at a hotel, security exchanged gunfire with three subjects. At this time, we don't know if anyone was injured. Now that, my friends, was just what we have here that we know of that happened during a 7-day, 1 week, 7 days. But that's not where it all ended. Nope. Actually, more shots were fired. More security officers were injured. This is really never ending. Police in a suburb of Detroit, Southfield, Michigan, said an armored truck driver shot at suspects who attempted to rob the armored truck early Friday morning. Three suspects attempted to rob the driver at the McDonald's restaurant at 10 Mile and Telegraph. After the driver fired shots, the suspect fled. The driver was armed, according to police, and shot several times toward the security officer. At this time, police don't have any suspects in custody, and it's unknown if anybody was hurt. Another security officer came under fire unexpectedly. This one occurred in Fort Worth, Texas. A security officer was in a mobile patrol vehicle making patrols of a neighborhood. He said at the area of Miller Avenue in South Fort Worth Saturday that he escaped serious injuries. Police responding to that area at 1:30 Saturday morning after the uniformed security officer driving a security vehicle was fired upon by a pedestrian. All of a sudden, the man jumped out in front of the marked security patrol vehicle, began yelling profanities, and then fired multiple rounds into the vehicle. Police said the security officer was not hit. He was armed. He drew his own firearm and fired at the suspect. Police don't know if the suspect was hit. He quickly fled on foot. Police are still looking for him. Fort Worth Police Gun Violence Unit said this is a very active investigation. A security officer in Oakland, California is hospitalized with broken bones and two broken hands. Police said that he was on foot patrol of a neighborhood. Alex Ebowaka, 72 years old, was patrolling when he spotted a burglary in progress. He began filming the burglars, and that's when one of them noticed him. Police say that he ran over and began beating the elderly security officer. Before long, others in his crew also began smashing the security officer's phone and eventually left him with broken hands and bones as they fled. Police don't have them in custody. They are looking for a Hyundai Elantra, which they later did find abandoned, but it was stolen, so they don't have many leads. The 72-year-old security officer said that he is very upset that he was doing his job, that they didn't have to take out their aggressions on him. He hopes that police catches them quickly. An Oakland City Council member says this assault is actively under investigation. He says an arrest is sure to be made quickly. Coming out of Seattle, Washington, an unknown security officer was shot just before midnight last night. Police say that he was on duty and on patrol. We are gathering more information. Shots fired. Attacks, violent attacks on security officers. There is no end in sight. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
stuff like that really gets my blood boiling. And that's why I keep preaching safety, 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 training, training, training. Unarmed security officers are only victims. There's very little that they can prevent these days. We'll be right back.
Every 40 seconds, someone around the world takes their own life. Every 13 minutes, someone in the U.S. commits suicide. While you were getting ready for work this morning, in the first hour of your day, as many as 5 people in the U.S. have killed themselves. By lunchtime, about 20 people in the U.S. have taken their own life. At the end of an 8-hour workday, about 40 people in the U.S. killed themselves. In a 24-hour period, as many as 111 people in the U.S. committed suicide.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live. They'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
A recent study of sorts by Officer.com, a law enforcement magazine and news site, shows that police that are exiting law enforcement in the north and west are finding jobs elsewhere, oftentimes back into law enforcement, or if not law enforcement, private security. One or the other, I don't think this is really a shock to anybody, certainly not to me, but another part of this that they pointed out was a survey of police officers that had exited the job during the last 3 years also chose to leave their state. They have left California. They have left New York. They have left many of the Democratic states. And this is not political statement. This is not a political statement. This is not a biased statement. This is a true fact based on census numbers and interviews with those officers moving and leaving law enforcement or leaving their current law enforcement employer. Now, the three states where most police officers have moved to, not only for a law enforcement position, but as well as a civilian position, is Texas. I don't think that's a big surprise. Texas is pro-law enforcement. Texas, across the board, has always been a strong state for jobs and opportunities. Many metropolitan areas, as well as rural areas. It also has mountains, valleys. If you're a cowboy, there's plenty of horses, lots of things to do in Texas. The other state, right behind Texas is Florida. In fact, Florida for the last 5 years has had a huge recruitment campaign designed and targeted mainly to the north, northeast, and west, far west, including Washington, Oregon, and California. And so no surprise that Florida has recouped the benefits of the agencies who have, you know, really reduce their staffing. Law enforcement not only quit their jobs in NYPD and other northern states, but they also moved to Florida, not just for the sun and fun and the waves, but for law enforcement, where they actually are being paid more. Many have very large sign-on bonuses. I just recently saw an agency offering $40,000 sign-on bonus. And Florida is also, for the most part, very pro-law enforcement. It's a state that recognizes the need for law enforcement because of the increase in crime over the many years and drug trafficking and many other types of violent crimes, not just, you know, happening overnight, but they have been plagued over the years. And so law enforcement plays a bigger part. And if you've ever, ever listened to some of those sheriffs in Florida about, hey, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime here. And if you do something, we're going to get you. And they don't beat around the bush about how proactive law enforcement is. And if you've ever seen some of the old editions of Cops, where they rode in Florida many times in the Miami and Tampa, Hillsborough area, always very proactive and always making a lot of gun and drug busts. The other state, which also really isn't, I don't think, surprising either. The other states that officers leaving the jobs that they're going to is Montana. And that's kind of a little surprising because Montana is much more rural. Not that many opportunities. Still a very beautiful place. Obviously, if you're not going to get back into law enforcement, Wyoming and Montana are obviously great picks, especially if you like the outdoors and, you know, maybe even living off the grid. They're also choosing Arizona. Arizona is attracting some officers from different departments who have left. And so you're seeing the exodus of law enforcement continue, but many are not getting back into law enforcement, but rather into the private sector. A recently departed law enforcement officer looked at their options. They moved to Texas. They looked at, well, maybe I'll join one of those departments down there. But they actually got a job at a large federal business as a director or one of the managers of security, making much more than they did in law enforcement, much better benefits. We're seeing this across the country. I believe that major cities will continue to have the most difficult time recruiting, while smaller towns, smaller communities, even rural, is attracting those law enforcement officers. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer B Radio.
The school back in session, help us keep our kids safe. When school crossing signs are posted, do not drive faster than 50 miles per hour until you see the crosswalk. Do not pass other vehicles, even if they're driving slower than the speed limit. Passing means any part of your vehicle overtaking any part of their vehicle. You don't have to completely pass the other driver for it to be a violation. When you see anyone in the crosswalk, you must come to a full stop until they're completely out of the crosswalk. Remember, we don't want to write you a ticket. We just want to keep our school crossings accident-free.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy. Located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Every second that you breathe, every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, we are making history. It's history in the making. No matter who you are, no matter what type of job you have, what your economical status is, where geographically you live in the U.S. or in the world, it's history in the making. Decades and decades and decades ago, when I was a young man, a young boy in school, history was one of those topics that I did quite well in. Geography, history, and English, I aced those. But to ask me how to do fractions or geometry, trigonometry, no, those weren't my subjects at all. We're all making history. And being a lover of history, I love old buildings. I love to see old artifacts. And just recently, several large digs across the world has dug up communities that we didn't even know existed. And recently I read an article about a number of bones that was found, and it looked like that they had been chained together. History is a valuable lesson, good or bad. And we ourselves are making history every day. And the older that you get, the more you begin to realize that maybe I should have done things differently. Maybe I should have had different choices, better choices in some cases. Maybe I should have had more good history than some of the bad history that I'm leaving behind. We all leave a legacy. And those of us who have children and grandchildren, don't we want to leave them a good legacy? I am so proud and so taken back by many families who have been in a business for generations after generations. I see pretty frequently as I travel, owners of hardware stores and restaurants and other businesses that have been going for 4 and 5 generations, and even farms. That's something to be proud of. As we're all making history, I would think it's best to do our best to leave behind a true, true legacy, a true, honest and good history. And despite whatever age that you might be at this moment, it's really not too late for you to make better history in the making for yourself and those that you love. I don't get to watch a lot of TV because of work and travel. But one of the few shows that I like on cable is called Barnwood Builders. Barnwood Builders out of West Virginia is a company that's been around for about 20 years, started by one person who began searching for old barns across the country. And believe it or not, barns just are not barns. But there are various types of barns and different names of barns, and they're used for different things. And the Barnwood crew, what they do is they search out and buy old barns that are beginning to fall apart because of wear and tear and weather and the age. But they don't tear them down and burn them up. No, that would be like throwing money in a fire pit. What they do is they harvest the good barn wood. And then they use that wood that's still salvageable to make homes and cabins and in some cases offices and even recreational buildings, entertainment buildings for various businesses. A couple of them recently were wedding reception type venues. Barnwood Builders understands that those cabins, those barns, were all history in the making every day that they stood tall. And now the history in the making continues with the reuse of the wood into a new structure that's going to live on for another 100 plus years. History in the making can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing, depending on what type of lifestyle that you live, what it is that, I mean, let me give you an example. A clock manufacturer, a person who wasn't really the best citizen, probably wasn't going to win any Citizens of the Year awards, became a clock manufacturer. And through his lifetime, he put his energy and efforts and skills into making clocks. And we're talking about 100 years ago. And he built on his skills and techniques and became a pretty well-known clock manufacturer. And recently, one of his clocks, which stood in Town Square in a small town in Alabama, stopped working after 100 plus years. Well, here was a man who had, during his history in the making, had switched, had turned his life around a little bit, had begun using his skills, his knowledge, his life for good. And that clock that suddenly stopped working, no fear, it's back on the square ticking away. It was fixed by another clock maker who also had been doing this skill for many years. It's hard to think about the history that we're making as we're making it. And I want to say this without being too political. As we know, during the last 3, 4, 5 years, a lot of our history that we knew throughout the country has been torn down, has been destroyed. Oh, it wasn't good history. Oh, it didn't show the U.S. in the best light. Oh, it was racist. Oh, it was this, this, and this. Well, maybe it was, but it was history. It was our history in the making. Not all history is going to be good history. Not all history is perfect history. They say that we learn from history. We learn from our mistakes. We learn what not to do by looking at what was done at one time. As individuals, as company owners, as politicians, as government officials, as law enforcement officers, we're making history every day. Every day we go to work, no matter what kind of job that we do, we're making history. No, it's not going to be perfect. We're not perfect people. And so sometimes it's imperfect history, but we have an opportunity to do the best that we can. Jimmy Carter, as most of you probably know, is currently receiving hospice. My mom went through hospice. I was with her up until her last breath after suffering cancer. And Jimmy Carter, whether you liked him as a president or not, he was always making history. No, he didn't get behind certain political parties or agendas. He didn't get in front of the cameras all the time. He went about his life, him and his wife, doing good in the community and the country. Habitat Humanity was one of those charities that he spent much of his time with, making, building houses for others to have a better life.
and his history in the making will stand for a long time. It'll be part of the historical records, what he did after the White House. He went on numerous trips to other countries to help them. He provided resources for certain charities. He did whatever he could do, and he was a Christian man. He used his good to have a positive outcome in his life, in his community. History in the making. And at the age of 99, he's still making history today. Every place that we look, we can see people who made history. It was history in the making at that time, and today we call it history. Dick Clark, the American Bandstand, born in 1929, he was an actor, a producer, and eventually he became a company owner and produced many different types of musical events and shows, including the New Year's Eve Countdown in New York City. Many people that we know have made history. History doesn't just automatically become history. No, it begins with history in the making. I've known many people throughout my life who made good history. They were good people. Some of them went on to become important people in politics and government. And some were pastors. And they made a lot of history by doing good for their community and helping out as many people as they possibly could. They've left behind a legacy that, honestly, is near perfect. They weren't troublemakers. They were good doers, doers of the word. And I wish sometimes as I get older that I could turn the clock back and go back and change a few things. But I can't. Because at that time, it was history in the making. Now it's just history. It's a done deal. That chapter's been written. It's behind me. I could stay here for hours and talk about all of the history in the making that people make every single day, some not even realizing that it's history in the making. I think the bottom line, the final point that I'm really trying to make, is that as we live every moment of our life, it's history in the making. And long after we're gone, some people are going to remember what we've done, and it might count for something. Hopefully it will. History is a permanent record. For better or for worse, it's going to be there. Don't you want people to see the history that you made in a good light, that you did accomplish something, that your life stood for something, that your time here on earth meant something to someone? I see people every day, unfortunately, and I have almost all of my life, who spent their life recklessly. Alcoholics, drug abusers, not caring for their body, not caring for their time on earth. You see it today among the young people. Life means nothing to them. Life is precious, but to many today, it doesn't mean a thing. There's a lot of reasons for that, too many to go into it on this program. I feel sorry for most of them. I look at the news so much every day. Sometimes I find myself in tears, praying for some people, actually, because I see the road that they're traveling down and knowing that they're on a collision course. I have not been perfect in my life, and I have regrets, and I wish I could change things like many people do. But my history in the making continues. And every day I get up, and every day that I walk on this earth, I try to do my best and I try to help people. And I think that's the least that we can do. We don't have to aspire to be anything great. We don't have to aspire to be a politician. We don't have to aspire to change a whole lot of lives or do something that is going to be a lasting historical event. But we should try to do our best in our own life and for others around us. It doesn't take much to help people these days. A nice few kind words, a handshake now and then, a smile. And if you got a few extra bucks, donate it to charity. Give of yourself at a soup kitchen, a volunteer fire department, a homeless shelter, someplace that really needs your help desperately, especially right now. History in the making, positive or negative, will live on. In our industry as frontline responders, security, law enforcement, fire, EMS, whatever it might be, we do good every day and don't even realize it sometimes. Just being there sometimes prevents a crime, and we don't even know that we prevented a crime. Just being there sometimes make a whole difference in the world, and we don't even realize that because many times people don't say it. They don't thank you. They just move on. But realistically, the history that you're making is pretty good as long as you stay on the right side of the road. I wish that I had some true inspirational words that I could share with you and a true map that you could follow to make sure that your history in the making was perfect. But history is not perfect because people are not perfect. Each and every one of you, you're recording history in the making right now. You're making history every second of the day. What kind of history do you want to record? Thank you for being with us on this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I truly hope that you'll think about these words, that you'll stay on the right side of the road, and that you'll do your best not only for yourself, but for those around you. Until the next time, y'all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.